Nice notes from you all today. Look at that whole page of notes. That's the bride speaking right there. And you could hear things popping as people were sharing. You know, you could hear that stimulating other people. Confirmation happening, all that good stuff. That's the Holy Spirit weaving us together. Hallelujah. So we're in Psalm 77 today. I'm sorry, 78. We had communion last week. Finish off around verse 7 of Psalm 78. So I'll kind of read up to that point. Catch us back up here. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. God speaking to us all. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Jesus saying that today. Jesus saying it back when he walked on this earth. Jesus saying that to the psalmist at this time. God is present not only everywhere, but in all time. He's the Alpha and Omega. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, where he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God and keep his commandments. God is stressing the importance here of passing the baton to future generations, not taking all those goodies to heaven with you, sharing them while you're here. Sharing them bountifully while you're here. And Mandy said part of that is getting out and going to different places, visiting other places and different events that churches are putting on. Christians are gathering. You hear Christians are gathering, go there. Share with people. Pass the baton to your family and children. This could be summed up in the word discipleship. And what does that really mean other than having a big word there? It's learning the way of God. Remember from Psalm 77, that was our subject last week, the way of God, the known ways of God. Here we have in the Bible right before us, very known. We can read it, pick it up at any time. You have prayer, you have things that are known that we do, that are sanctified, that are holy for God. And you have the unknown. It talks about his footsteps being erased. You can't see the footsteps of God. You're not sure about that. The unknown ways of God, the mysterious way. And I like both. I like both. I like having the tangible and I like having the intangible, the mystery element of God that intrigues me and draws me in and causes me to keep going. How is this shared? How do we pass the baton? How do we disciple? How do people learn the way? We're doing it today. We're sharing the word with each other. Sunday school. But these things more facilitate. They more speak to the where. What's really happening? What's the how? How does it happen? How do we become discipled? How do we follow after God? How does it really happen? It's not the where. How does it really happen? It's the bringing into your heart, the downloading of the works, the wonderful works of God, his word, and then the uploading of it. Well, you can download all day. You can listen to Christian radio. You can be in your Bible, in fact. You can hear preaching all day, 24/7. You can be downloading all the time. But God is saying, now bring it up. Bring up these things that you heard. Bring up those events in your life where I was there with you, walking with you. Remember those times. Because he's going to start speaking to you now as you bring those things up. God is going to work in that. So that's how we're discipled. That's the how of it. We're to bring things into our heart, hide the word in our heart, and then to bring them up. The Holy Spirit is the great teacher in that upload. The download, you could have any old person do that. You have one up here right now, helping you with the download, teaching you the word of God. I can't do the upload, though. That's the Holy Spirit that teaches you. You take and digest the words that you heard, the testimonies that you heard, things shared, and you bring those things up. And the Holy Spirit brings those into the true reality that they are truth for you, to the faith you need for that moment, the courage that you need for that moment, the wisdom that you need for that moment. The Holy Spirit is our greatest teacher. Verses 8 through 12 break into now actual downloads. These are events that happen, true stories, true events, history. This is the history of mankind. Verses 8 through 12. It might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. We're going to be an example one way or another. It's better to be a good example. But even here we could see where a bad example can be used. And that's what's going to be brought up here in some ways in this particular, the rest part of this song here. The stubbornness, the rebellious, not setting their heart aright, a spirit that's not steadfast with God, not steady, yo-yo-y, all over the place. The children of Ephraim, it says in verse 9, being armed, here's a very specific historical event that's happened. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. We don't have the specific place to go to in the scripture that speaks to this event other than this psalm. We know that there are children of Ephraim. That's the children of Joseph, one of the tribes of Israel, so the grandchildren of Israel. But we're not sure what this very specific event is other than this particular psalm bringing it up, that the children of Ephraim, being armed, they had these bows, which would have been a mighty weapon of the day. You didn't have flamethrowers at that time. You didn't have RPGs, all that great stuff that we have today. But bows were, that was quite a, you could hit someone from a long ways. Instead of a spear being a close combat, all of a sudden an arrow hits you from out of nowhere. So very strategically, they were armed. They were strong in that sense. Carrying bows, yet they turned back in the day of battle. They had fear. They had strength. God is telling us they had the strength about them. They had no reason to fear, yet they did. They ran. They kept not the covenant, verse 10, of God, and refused to walk in his law, and forgot his works. You can underline that. These last two particular songs were underlying anything that has to do with memory, remembering things, forgetting things, bringing things up, meditating on things, as in 77, verse 12. Forgot his works. So the downloading happened. At some point, they were aware of the works and might of God, but they failed to bring it up, to upload that into their current memory and to meditate on these things, to think on these things. That's where strength and courage is born, right there. You could have all the stories of every library in the world. You could have the Bible memorized. You need to bring it up. You need to bring these things up. Think on these things. Meditate on these things. Forgot his works and his wonders that he showed them. We forget because we fail to bring them up. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. Verse 12 there in Psalm 78, you can draw a circle around that 12 and circle verse 12 in the previous psalm. They go together. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Verse 12 of Psalm 78 is marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt. So here you see the upload happening. These are things we're to meditate on. And what happens when you start meditating on something? You start talking about it. That's what's on your mind, right? You start talking about it to others. You start sharing. That's how it works. the baton starts to pass to the people around you. Discipleship happens. They're learning the way of God because you're sharing it. Not complicated, but we need to do it, right? Hebrews 11 is perhaps for the New Testament, you would call the Hall of Faith. You've heard of the Hall of Fame before, baseball players and so forth. The Hall of Faith, God's Hall of Fame, is Hebrews 11. Of course, it's the whole scripture. But Hebrews 11 really goes into a central focus on these particular men and women of faith. Let's take a look at a few of those today. Hebrews 11. Some of your Bibles might have table of contents in the beginning of it, and you kind of quickly turn there to find a place about where to go for this and kind of subject indexes and all that. Well, here's the table of contents in regards to faith, because this takes you all sorts of places. Hebrews chapter 11 takes you all sorts of places in the scripture in regards to this faith that we're to have and remembering. In particular, we want to talk about this download that we're doing now has to do with courage. Combating fear. This is a huge one. It's enormous. One of the people I think of, before we get into Hebrews 11 a little bit here, is my favorite daughter, Brianna. They're both my favorite. I like to say that. Brianna's has shared a lot. She's got a blog and all that about conquering fear. This is one of the big things in her life. Was to overcome, was fear. And you wouldn't think that with Bree. This is a little girl, probably around 13 or 14, and a deer ate a worm, you know, and no problem there. Fly to Mexico when she's 14 or 15. England when she's 12, on mission trips, going on the streets and down the inner cities. And boldly preaching the gospel, going out of the country in Quebec, wherever that was. It was just somewhere. It looked like an island, nowhere land. And there she is. This is Bree. This is our first child right here. That's not it. And if I remembered, I could have asked Terry to bring that up. Or send her this. But this is her. She's planking on some mountaintop. This is called planking. In our generation, Mark, and so forth, we do like this to show our strength, right? And so the kids of her generation do planking. That's like where you lay stiff as a board somewhere. I don't know if it's still popular. Yeah. But that's her planking over some mountaintops. That's Brianna, okay? This is the one that her biggest thing in life was to conquer fear. Her fear. She won't show it to you though, won't she? So I'm going to share a little bit from one of her blogs at some point here. But let's take a look at Hebrews 11 here, the table of contents of our faith, an overcoming fear. Faith and fear don't dwell in the same room together, do they? It begins right with Abel, the firstborn of Adam and Eve. By faith, Abel offered unto God. Very simple. By faith, Abel offered unto God. He had a relationship with God. And it goes on to, by faith, Enoch was translated that he shouldn't see death. Never had a fear of death. He walked with God right from this earth right into heaven. A picture of the rapture of the church being caught up with God. We're told in verse 6 there, without faith it's impossible to please him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, the things not seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark of the saving of the house, by the, which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. So faith properly set is fear in nothing except God. Fear in the commands of God and his and what he's told us to do, that what he has spoken will come to pass. When God says something is wrong, it really is. So wisdom is born in that. Wisdom is born in that. Being warned of the things of God. Being warned of God. Built that ark. And if you have not seen the Ark, there is a life-size replica in Kentucky I would like to see sometime myself. The Ark Encounter, it's called. About 1.5 to 2 million people go there a year. Beautiful story, testimony that I would like you to, if you haven't listened to it yet, please do. It's called Fire in My Bones. You can look it up on YouTube. Fire in My Bones by Ken Ham. Look at it. Because it's an event that's taking place in our country right now that's very important for reversing the tide. The ugliness of secular humanism that's brought in, it's basically communism that's infiltrated our country in a very sneaky way. You see, communism brought atheism and secular humanism, saying there is no God, there is evolution. We don't need God even to create a universe. We could have nothing and we could mess with a few quarks and a burp of nothingness and here we are. That's what's being preached in our land today. It's communism. It's infiltrated our country. That ark, life-size ark in the middle of our country, is standing in the face of Satan and saying, no, we're going to bring it back. There was a flood. There was a flood. All these sediments that you see, all these bones buried isn't millions of years. It's evidence of the flood that happened. We want our country back. We want the communism out. The secular atheism out. It doesn't belong here. This is God's place. So I'm all for that ark, by the way, if you can tell. But God laid on his heart to build this life-size ark to demonstrate this. Overcoming the obstacles of fear all the way. All of these stories that you will see in the table of contents of faith have to do with that. I'm hoping someday that I invited her down to do that. Of course, she knows she could do any time, but to share her particular story of overcoming anxiety attacks, panic attacks, the whole nine yards that goes with fear. It only gets worse until you address it. It only gets worse, and you end up hiding away. It eats at your life. It's like rust. But this particular blog that Brianna wrote is called Welcome to Freedom. And she says, I'm slightly claustrophobic. An easy way to make an enemy out of me would be to trap me under a blanket or hide me away in an elevator. It's not a fun feeling being stuck in a place where hope is a word that holds no meaning. A lot of things can get us there. People's accusations, lies, and hurt. Circumstances, opposition, emotions, doubts, negative self-talk. There is hope. Zechariah 9:12, return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. She goes on to say, this is a short blog, some of us are in a place where we've been so long that we don't even remember what it's like to be free. Or maybe we've never even known what it's like to be free. We're hoping is pointless because goodness seems impossible. A place where the only comfort we look in is food or drink or whatever. Not the real comforter, capital C, the beautiful one. It's time to start seeing your darkness in the light. Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. It's a holy week, the time that she wrote this, the week that led to the great rescue Jesus Christ did to set us free. Free from the dark place we might be presently trapped in. His whole life on earth was all to make a way for God's grand, heroic plan. And he was nailed and breathed his last. The blood that ran out of him was a sign of our pain, sin, struggle, disease, being taken from us. He died in your place because he delights in you. His love is greater than our present darkness because he didn't stay dead. By his death and resurrection, he beat death. and anything that's connected to it. Shame, hatred, abuse, anger, depression, worry, lies, fear. She is doing caps here, so I'm just doing that for you. You fill in the blank. No, really, fill in the blank. And don't let yourselves, again, be burdened by whatever that is. Give it back to Him. Friend, if you're holding onto any darkness, the time has never been better than give it back to Jesus. His whole living was to die for you so that you don't have to live in these places of darkness. So what are we doing holding on to these things? They are going to come up through our life. Opposition is at every turn. Every attempt to move forward, there's a reason to fear, lose hope, and believe lies. The question is, are you going to give in to putting the darkness into a higher place than the hope of Christ? Or are you going to face it and give it back to Jesus? Whatever you filled in as being your darkness, well, it's not yours. Hope is yours. God wants you to give it back to Him, those burdens that He already took for you. They belong to Him. Booker, she's a good... If you want to live by hope, instead of being stuck in whatever your darkness is, get ready to experience what freedom feels like in the fullness of joy Jesus brings through the release. If you have questions, need prayer, or anything, call Prejoy. That's her blog there. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I hope she does some at some point come and share her personal testimony, because there's a lot more to it. There's a bus ride out west. There's some wild things that she's got to share. So I look forward to that someday, her sharing those things with us. Back to Psalm 78. This fear, having this equipment, having these bows, but yet retreating. It's all about fear. It's all about failure when there shouldn't have been failure. When you had the equipment, God has provided you the provision, head to toe, of the armor of God, the armor of light. Head to toe, covered, ready for battle, yet shrinking back. Shrinking back. Oh, is he talking about me? No, I'm talking about me. If you just happen to be also included there. We forget the bow that's in our hand. We forget the strength that God has provided us with in Jesus Christ. There's no reward in retreating. Verse 13, we're to download these things that God has done for mankind, these historical events, these really happened. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, the Israelites, and He made the waters to stand as a heap. Could you put yourself there for a minute, that parting of the sea? I mean, this is a sea. A lot of water. It would collapse on those that were chasing them afterwards, so it wasn't just a little bit of water. It was a huge amount of water to crush some very powerful soldiers and an army. So you can imagine that. Put yourself there. You've got an army chasing you, and then you've got this strange event you've never seen before. You've not read it in the Bible. You haven't gone to Sunday school. No one's ever parted a sea before. It's not in the things of God's possibilities, even that you maybe even thought of. But yet, there it is, open. There are no tracks through there. There's simply an open pass. These speak to the ways of God that are unknown. They're unknown. There's no footprints there. There's not a sign saying God did this every step of the way. There isn't this mysterious hand from heaven coming down and holding them all the way through. They need to stop. First Moses and then the rest. They need to stop. The unknown ways of God. Don't miss them. Don't miss them. Don't be confused or distracted of the army chasing you and say, well, that's where the battle is. No, it isn't. God has provided an opening, a way of escape. We need to be tuned in. These are the unknown ways of God. They require faith to step in, to make those first footprints. Mindy shared a story today. I think it was a little video clip or something, a humorous one. Speaking to moms in particular, because they, around the clock, it's like taking care of these children. You don't know if it's Monday or Sunday or what day it is. And, you know, kids crying in the next one and then the next one. And then, you know, one thing runs into the other. And so just as a little humor relief, there was a little video clip of a mom rocking the little nursery thing there. What do you call them? Little rocker things. Cradles. Thank you. Rocking the cradle, and she's sitting there rocking the cradle, and all of a sudden she realizes the baby's not in there. And the panic comes over her face, but and then she looks in her arm, and the baby's been in her arm the whole time. You know, just the mommy brain, I think they call it, you know, just from that 24/7 service that they do. God bless all the moms out there, and thank you, Jesus, for them. I really appreciate, you know, do a little babysitting, grandpa sitting, and it's like, how in the world did she make dinner? Just to survive through the day and make it to the end and say, we made it, you know, that would be amazing enough, just that. The surprise, though, of all of a sudden, wow, I have this armor, and, you know, the shock that we have this great armor of God about us, that we have this bow, and we're not to retreat in that sense, that we're to go forward, to take the steps in the unknown. You can't see the footprints, you don't know what the plan is, but Jesus says, follow me. Where are you going? How are you going to go? Where are you going to stay at? The disciples would say. What's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? When are we going to get there, Jesus? Follow me. Just take a step, and then take another one. So this parting of the sea, this download, is to speak to us in that way of the mysterious ways of God, His provision. You don't always see footprints. You can't always see the other side even. Verse 14, he continues with these downloads. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. Well, you think, well, there's no faith in that. Obviously, you got a pillar of fire and a cloud by day. That's easy to follow. What about day two? What about day 20 and 200 and 2,000? God, is that really you? We seem to be going around in circles here. Is that really you? So our faith is challenged at many levels and many ways and in the unknown ways of God. Why are we going around in circles, God? Yet you're leading us in these circles. Why don't you just wipe out the army, God? That's what I would do. Why do we have to go through the sea thing? This is weird. There's no footprints here. It's never been done. Miracles upon miracles, you still have that fear, don't you? We still struggle in our faith, no matter the piles of miracles that are around us. Patty spoke of the comfort today, sharing scriptures, and that there's just a little bit. I mean, if there's just a tiny bit of something for somebody, a little cup of cold water, give it to them. If there's any consolation, anything. It's our job, it's the passion of Christ within us is to share the things. Well, I've been beat up, I've been dragged through the mud. Well, share the mud, make a mud pie, have some fun. Do it. Share. If there's any consolation, there's anything. Verses 15 and 16 of this song speak to this. And I think sometime in 2025 we'll finish this psalm, I promise. It speak to comfort. Verses 15 and 16. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Anybody ever stop and drink from the spring that sticks out of the side of the mountain there coming into Port Byron? Anybody ever stop and have a drink? Terry did? Roger did? Dick Anthony? Mindy? My new favorite daughter! She's so brave! Comfort. God providing water, being refreshed. Comfort. The hard, parched, hot land, and having that water flow, not just getting a cup, but having that overflow happen. Let's look at a few scriptures pertaining to this. Romans 15, please. 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, that would be including what we're reading today, were written for our learning, we understand that, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. The download of the scriptures, then the upload and the thinking and meditate on it. God really split a sea? It's not a fairy tale. It really happened. Yes, it did. God really divided the sea. Think about it. Think about what it was like. Put yourself there and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you as you bring that up, as you bring that word up. Comfort of scriptures, we might have hope. Hope for what? Hope for the moment that we're in. Hope for tomorrow, the thing we're worried about. Our grandchildren, our children, our aunts, our uncles, whatever's going on. God wants us to do this. This isn't some weird teaching up here today. God wants us to do this. It's impossible to please Him without it. Take a look at what Jesus said. He's with the disciples and they're going over and talking about bread, and the disciples are like, what's He talking about bread? Is there a fundraiser or something going on? Or, you know, what's happening? And they're confused. And Jesus said, don't you remember? Don't you remember the feeding of the 5,000? And He's, what's He doing? He's bringing them through the details. He said, how many baskets were left over? Come on, guys, how many? You know, come on. Bring these things up. Do you remember? Do you remember? God wants us to remember. He wants us to chew on these things. This is where the fruit is born. Planting your tree by the water in Psalm 1. The fruit will come in its due season. Meditating on the word, day and night, it says. First Corinthians 10, just a few pages over, really. Verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant. There's the learning part of this. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, just as we talked about. All were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. This brought them into that reality relationship with God. Did all eat the same spiritual meat, and all did drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. How cool is that? This baby that was born in a manger, lived a perfect life, that died for you and me, was in the desert as a rock, spewing out water. He would go to a dry place one day and talk to a woman and say, can I have a drink? She goes into the well and they have a conversation, and he speaks of what? Living water. And she got splashed with that living water that day. And she runs into town and starts splashing everybody else. That's what we're to do. That rock was Christ, that rock that gave forth water. Jesus speaks about a torrent of living water from where? Splashing you in the face? No, coming from within. Within. We'll finish in Psalm 78. We'll finish with verses 17 through 22. And they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. It's good to share with your children your failures. It's good to share. This is what's happening here in the scripture. It's good that you don't paint yourself as this perfect person and then your kids can't live up to that expectation. It's good to be honest with your kids. maybe not when they're three, to tell them everything you did, you know. But at certain points, God will lead you into the time to show that you were clay as well, and that you needed God, you needed a Savior. They sinned yet the more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. They tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. That was the, when they asked for the quail, KFC. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for the people? There's something good going on here, but they don't quite make it. You see what's happening? They're actually remembering that God provided the water, but they can't make the leap into that God can do anything else but what he's already done. So we're getting a little closer, aren't we? Behold, he smote the rock. Waters gushed out. God can do that. And the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for the people? It's a certainly a reasonable request, isn't it? What they're searching for. Does anybody try to have go on a water diet before? Isn't it weird? You can fill your belly with water. Why aren't you satisfied? Your belly's hurt. You could pack it in. You drink a whole 2 gallons. And your stomach's like going to pop. How could you possibly want to eat something? It's a mystery, isn't it? Just as we are to eat also as to have water, God wants us to grow, develop beyond the things that we're understanding of him and to leave him as the infinite God that we're going to be pursuing forever and ever, growing in the grace and knowledge of him. He's infinite, not finite. This Bible's finite, and it's got a Genesis to Revelation. My prayer is finite. It has a beginning and end. This church service is finite. It's going to finish in a couple of minutes, promise. God is infinite. Infinite. That's the unknown. Don't keep him in a box of your possibilities. Don't do that. In Mark chapter 6, we won't turn there, but we're going to finish there. He was going into his hometown. Going into his hometown. And starting to do what he normally does, start preaching. Start healing, those kind of things. And all of a sudden, doubt came over. Wrong kind of cloud came over the situation of doubt. Isn't that Joe's son? Isn't that the carpenter's son? Isn't that Mary's? Isn't that the kid we saw playing kickball on the street? Isn't that old homeboy? What happened, man? They shrunk. It's shrinking back. As they shrunk, the works of Jesus shrunk too. It says in Mark chapter 6 that Jesus marveled at this unbelief. He marveled at this unbelief. Folks, last night during prayer, had a cool revelation. This is where our country is. This is God's country. This is his hometown. He's our homeboy, no disrespect, but he is the foundation of this particular Declaration of Independence that we celebrate every year. It's Christ. It's Jesus Christ. This is his hometown. What's happened? A lot of things have happened. We've shriveled and shrank. We've taken him for granted. It's called a contempt of the familiar. We've got radio stations. We've got resources, Bibles that we're tripping over. I heard someone say has the most resources of Christian stuff available in the world, yet we're falling into a more secular pattern every day. Why? Because we're the unbelieving believers.
We stop believing that he can split seas. We stop believing that he can raise the dead. We stop believing that he can heal. What did he do right in response to that? Two by two, he equipped them and anointed them to go out and heal, anoint the sick with oil, and cast out devils and preach the kingdom. I believe that's the answer for our country. That's the answer. Whether you've got to build an ark, whatever God calls you to do, do it. It's impossible. Do it. This Ken Ham is a real ham. There's nothing special about him. Other than he heard the voice of God and obeyed it. Who can do that? Who can build the largest wooden structure in the world? With nothing. He didn't have a silver spoon. His father simply told him this. It's about the word of God, son. It's about the word of God. He remembers that growing up everywhere they went. If the preacher got offline, he would respectfully say to the preacher that's not in here, you're offline. And he would tell his kids that it's the word of God. It's the word of God. It's the word of God. There really was a flood. There really was a parting of the sea. And all of a sudden, what Ken started saying, he's growing up, it started coming in the schools. He heard teachers saying, well, there might have been a gap in a million of years. And he said, no, no, no. Communism, socialism, here it comes. Demons flying in. Don't let it come in. Teaching the kids that every day at school. If you don't think it's affected you, it has. It has. It's impacted me. It's tainted me. It's made me an unbelieving believer. I stopped believing that he could part the sea. I stopped believing that he could create a universe. It's subtle. I didn't say it with my lips, but I said it with my actions. I shrunk back when I should be planking on the top of a mountain with my daughter. Amen. No, see if Bree takes me up on that. You know what the scariest verse in the Bible is? There's a lot of them, but John 6:66. John 6:66. Where Jesus was teaching and they shrunk back. They were still believers, but they started falling into unbelief. They shrunk back. They got comfortable where they're at. And no, not going to go this far with you, Jesus. And Jesus has looked at Peter, and he's looking at you today. He's looking at you today. What's your excuse? Fill in the blank, as Brianna said. Fill in the blank. What's your excuse? I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too in between. What's your excuse? I don't have enough money. I'm in debt. What's your excuse? He looked at Peter and says, will you follow? You have the words of life. I don't care what it's going to take. I don't care. And Peter would fail after that, and Peter would rise up. I'm going to follow you because you have the words of life. You're that living water. That rock is flowing. Folks, if it's not flowing into your life, if you become crispy and cruddy, if you become dried up, that fresh rock is now. Look up to heaven as we sing this last song. Look up to heaven and receive from that rock today. Not from some red-faced preacher that gets excited about the word of God, but from the real deal, from Jesus Christ from heaven. Please, don't leave here without getting in touch with that living flow from heaven. Jesus died for you. Not for you to be in complacency and to get kicked around. For you to love him, to follow him, to have the fullness of joy. Thank you, Jesus Christ. I praise you, Lord God. I pray for that spirit now. I pray for that power from on high to pour out. Lord Jesus Christ, you are that rock. That rock is giving force, Lord God, still today over this little building. We praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, that there is no one here that's left out of the program, left out of the calling, left out of your kingdom, Lord Jesus Christ. You've written them in the book, Lamb's Book of Life. Let them hear it. Let them receive it, Lord Jesus Christ, today. I pray right now for miracles in the body, Lord Jesus, that need to be healed. I pray right now. I believe, Lord God.
that you can heal, that you do heal, and you are healing, Lord Jesus Christ. Minds that are confused, minds that have been betrayed, minds that need to be lifted up, Lord God, you would do that now as we praise you, Lord Jesus, and finish today. Amen.
I know longing I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You unwrap me with a melody. Surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am
makes us free. Truth is not just something that we digest and that we work some kind of faith into. Truth is something you get in and take a ride.
Amen.
And you know, take a ride on the promises of God. He's going to bring things to you. He's going to bring things to mind. Get in and take a ride. Mm-hmm. Take a ride all the way. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for this time. We pray for the rest of this day, Lord God, that be filled with divine appointments and your awesome glory to be known. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.